A Royal Love Story, Song of Solomon. At a first glance, the book looks like a bunch of sweet nothings between two lovers. At a deeper glance, it contains a wealth of wisdom from what is probably one of the last writings of the wisest king. Key players are three lovers, two men and a woman. The storyline seems to map events in Solomon's life around 967 BC, around the time he starts building the temple. It, however, seems to be written around 931 BC, the year the king died. The star of the story is the Shunammite woman, who is torn between two lovers, a shepherd and the king. The places described in the book are actual locations between Solomon's palace and Shunem. Why did the king write the story decades later? Did he regret a profound mistake he made? Did he feel the heat of the consequences of missing out on true love? Was he applauding the simple woman who demonstrated greater wisdom in decisions and who found deeper love? It appears so, and in the process communicates a powerful message. The Shunammite woman is possibly Abishag, selected earlier as the most beautiful woman in the country to comfort King David in his old age. When Adonijah asks for her, King Solomon in fury gets him killed, saying he may as well ask for the throne. We don't hear of her after that, but later a Shunammite woman emerges with whom King Solomon seems to be smitten, now working in the vineyards of the king, where he sees her. She is in love with a shepherd. When taken by the king to the palace to seduce him to be his 141st woman in his life, while she is certainly enticed, she evaluates the luxuries in the palace against the faithfulness and integrity of the shepherd. Unlike the many before her, she chooses the humble shepherd over the wealthy king. The drivers of her choice were commitment to her God over commitment and comfort and wealth. Where will you rest your sheep at noon? Why should I wander like a prostitute among your companions? Song of Solomon 1:7. If a man tried to buy love with everything he owned, his offer would be utterly despised. Song of Solomon 8:7. She chose chastity over indulgence. O daughters of Jerusalem, I adjure you, do not arouse or awaken love until the time is right. Song of Solomon 8:4. She chose contentment over craving. My lover is content with me. Song of Solomon 8:10. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. Song of Solomon 6:8. She chose character over crown and chariot. Song of Solomon 8:11, 3:11. Look upon King Solomon. See the crown which his mother has crowned him. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard to keepers. Each one was to bring for its full 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, my very own, is before me. You, O Solomon, may have the 1,000. Song of Solomon 11:12. She eventually chooses to return to Shunem, and King Solomon, realizing her virtue, releases her. After his tryst with 1,000 women, it was one woman, true love, the charm of purity and chastity, a partner who worshipped God, the power and integrity of building the foundation of God's king together, that deeply impacted his thoughts in the final stage of life. He desperately wants his sons not to follow his footsteps, but in vain. Children learn from our examples far more than from our warnings. The quester failed in his quest for wisdom, prosperity, and lovers, missing out on each of them. He does repent towards the end, when it's too late to save the kingdom and clean up the mess he's made with it. This book has a painful, repentant reflection of his own mistakes. What are we searching for? What choices are we making in that quest? Is our life an example or a horrible warning?